Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists of the CPA Technology Advisor. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
Hi, this is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to episode 38 of Tech to Go. First, I would like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for today's podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple of different things I think that will be of interest to the accounting community and maybe a lot of other people as well. We're going to talk about Apple's introduction of the iPad and what that might mean and what its uses might be. And we're also going to talk about security when we're away from our offices, whether we're on our iPhones or any other phone or using a wireless card or in an airplane or whatever the case may be. So we're going to hit those two topics today. And I have my regular co-hosts with us today. I have Randy Johnston, a principal of K2 Enterprises. Welcome, Randy.
Good day to all. Thank you.
I also have Renee Lossert, the CEO of Bill.com. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you, Darren. Good morning.
And Dave McClure, the president of the U.S. Internet Industry Association. Welcome, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. I'm still busy trying to dig out from the 40 inches of snow we got this week.
I was going to say, you're not short, but is it over your head yet?
No, not yet, but it's getting there if this keeps up.
I could only imagine. We've gotten quite a bit. Randy, how about you guys? Did you guys get much?
It's beautiful, sunny, and no, we didn't get much. And a lot of people think we did because Oklahoma was so hammered, but it's been a very light and mild winter for us.
Wow. All right, guys, we have about 25 minutes today, so let's just dig in. Renee, you're out in the neighborhood in Silicon Valley, so tell us what you know about the new iPad.
Well, I mean, other than the name, which caused a lot of funny stuff going around on the late-night TV.
For sure.
Yeah, everybody was all abuzz about it, and people have been waiting and waiting for it out here. I think the thing that's exciting about it, just watching the, I don't think it's going to change anything in the work world, but from watching the keynote and kind of seeing the features, the example that Steve Jobs kept bringing up in the keynote was, you're going to walk into your kitchen, you're going to pick this up, and you'll go do your email, or you're going to look for a recipe. And I could see this being a huge device at home. I don't see it being something in the workforce yet, other than maybe as a, when you get all your reading onto one thing, it is nice. But it's exciting to think about having a nice appliance at home that can be shared across everybody to be able to, do a quick internet search. I don't know if you guys do that at the dinner table, but we're always kind of saying, well, what's the longest construction project ever or something, and you use the internet to go figure that out. And having the iPad is going to make it a little bit easier than my iPhone, which is what we're doing now.
Do you see this being a big competitor to the Kindle and the other devices that are coming out in that space?
Well, I've been a Kindle promoter and user since day one on that product, and of course with the iPhone app for Kindle Reader and all of the many, many products that were at CES this year, my favorite of course being a netbook on one side and liquid paper on the other. When I think about the options here, our expectation is these electronic readers were really just transition devices. And so I think this will be a factor. To me, the magic really falls around for e-readers, two factors, one of those being EPUB, the standard checkout format, and number two, the distribution mechanisms that Kindle has done so well via Amazon. So, it looks like to us so far, Amazon and Apple are not playing real friendly in that area. So content is king, and that to me will be the driving factor.
I was watching and I saw, the keyboard sort of pops up on the iPad. So you get, a much more, a richer keyboard than you'd certainly get on an iPhone or a BlackBerry or something like that. Don't know how easy it'll be to use. But, I'm thinking if I'm on an airplane or I'm traveling and I want to respond to a lot of email, boy, it might be a nice device to really be able to hammer those out a little quickly. What's your take, Randy?
You know, I think it would actually be, you know, if we think about the positioning, stronger than an iPhone, weaker than a, you know, mobile computer, I think it could actually be a functional device for purposes like home use, like on an airplane. I'm a little sensitive, though, because like probably a number of our listeners, having been around a while, I'm kind of a Selectric positive touch keyboard type of guy. And so when I get on the limited travel keyboards of today or the touch screens, even with the audible feedback and so forth, I actually have trouble typing on these limited movement keyboards. So that may be a factor, and until I get to work on them for several hours, I can't say it works for me, it doesn't work for me.
The one thing which has been interesting for me is, you know, when I moved to the iPhone, I thought for sure this was going to be, you know, difficult and challenging and to get used to. And I type just with my thumbs. I get thumbs. I can probably type 40 words a minute now. You know, if I need to. And so I think that is going to take people time to get used to. But the thing I wonder about, and I'm curious to get the rest of the folks' input on this, is using on an airplane, you have to have it flat. And one of the nice things about if you're going to type, right, unless you're going to use your thumbs, and I think it's probably too heavy to use your thumbs, one of the nice things about laptops is you can angle the screen and have the keyboard, right? That whole angle is, I think, pretty important.
Good point.
That's why I thought I wouldn't use it as much for work, but I would use it around the house just to do something quick.
Well, I'll kick in and address the email issue, too, because that's a big one for me. I have yet to see any of the flat screen replacement that I really want to answer email on in any serious kind of way. It's just too awkward with the keyboard. I mean, I'm open to changing my mind, but so far what I've seen probably wouldn't fly. I will say one thing about the iPad, though, and that is I think there's going to be a lot of application for it as a tablet as well. I could see because of its size, its form factor, its advanced kind of graphics capabilities, I could see this being in patrol cars for law enforcement. I could see it being out in the field for environmental guys. So I think there's a fair amount of institutional use that we'll see it for, even a lot of casual business travelers who will like to carry it just so that they have a book and a movie along on a long flight.
Sure. I'm kind of along the lines you are, Dave. I was thinking about, we do a lot of medical professionals here in our office. I could see these adapting well for, you know, electronic medical records. For instance, especially, you know, you can anticipate Apple's going to have great resolution and be fairly easy to use and light going into, you know, patient rooms and things of that nature.
And the other thing, too, kind of related to, because you started this off there and asking about kind of, the Kindle. And I do think the thing that will be interesting to see is just, you know, this whole app store that Apple's developed. And, you know, Amazon's come out, you know, they're trying to push their store, but it hasn't taken off the way the App Store has for Apple. And so, you know, with another device out there leveraging all of those apps, it's a huge future play for Apple to kind of, you know, get 30% of any good software that's developed. I mean, it's an amazing, you know, revenue stream for them. And so it's pretty, I kind of wish I had that business model, just 30% of other people's work for doing nothing.
Yeah.
The App Store is a pretty amazing business model, but, you know, I'll kind of counter with two items for our listeners to think about. You know, if I'm doing any type of significant purchase, I'm probably buying it through Amazon today through their distribution mechanisms. Mm-hmm. You know, so in effect, I wound up buying 5 flat-screen TVs in the month of January via Amazon, which was quicker delivery, the product I wanted, and on my doorstep compared to any of my local merchants, number one. And number two, from Amazon, not only have I bought Kindle books, but I've also bought music and lots of other things fairly conveniently. And, you know, since I'm in the minority on these type of things a lot of times, probably my family positioning speaks as clearly as anything. Of the 10 family members carrying cellular phones, 5 are iPhones and 5 are Droids. And the Droid marketplace is actually, in my use and thinking, easier to use than the App Store. Still less applications, no doubt, but all of the key Apple iPhone apps are already ported over and available in the Droid store. And, you know, there's another competitor, and Google's fairly serious about that, too.
You know, where the Kindle's really strong for me, and I have the bigger format Kindle, which I'm really happy with, but, you know, when I'm out in the sun, the direct sun around a pool or something, I mean, I can still read that clear as a bell. And so, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, how the iPad will do in that sort of an environment. You know, I can't take my laptop out and function very well with it in that direct sunlight.
One of the criticisms that's been launched, I mean, the iPad's only been announced for 2 weeks, but already there are criticisms of it. One of the criticisms, and perhaps the biggest one, is simply that it's just a bigger version of the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a good thing. I mean, I kind of enjoy being able to look at a screen without having to put on reading glasses, which is what I have to do with, you know, obviously with a cell phone.
That wouldn't be generational, would it?
I know. It's probably just a temporary condition while I grow younger.
Guys, with our time left, you know, before we move on, I think I'm going to be a buyer for the iPad because the price point is not, you know, out of sight, and it looks like it's going to be something fun to at least play with. Any of you guys going to be early adopters?
Well, we probably aren't early at this point based on the way things are going, but, you know, we've actually made a commitment to buy also. You know,
yeah.
Until, you know, for our listeners, you know, when we really make recommendations and say this is good or bad, we don't really like to talk from the vantage point of what we've read in reviews. We like to put our hands on these things. So, you know, for something like this, I felt like we had to put our hands on to say it does or it doesn't. And unless you own one, you don't know.
Yes, I agree.
I'm going to walk down to the store and hold it. I want to see the weight. That, you know, it's funny, but it's 1.5 pounds. The Kindle is, you know, just a little over a pound, and that half pound might make a difference if you're trying to read in bed. So for me, the application is either in the kitchen, like Steve talked about, or it's in bed, you know, reading all your magazines and books. And if in bed and you're lying down holding it up, a pound and a half can get kind of heavy after half an hour. So I want to kind of see what that feels like.
You know, I'm kind of waiting until Darren springs for the magazine to get us all review units of this thing so that we can speak about it intelligently when we write for the magazine.
Boy, that seems very appropriate. I will get to work on that. I'm not sure I'll have much luck. You guys are way too practical. I'm going to buy it just because I like toys and it looks like it's something fun to play with. So, and then I'll let you know how that goes. Well, guys, our second topic today is something really I just hope you guys can help educate me on. You know, I'm like you guys. I'm pretty mobile anymore. You know, all of us are traveling. We have our phones. We have our laptops. We're on airplanes. We're hopping on GoGo or whatever the airline internet is, and we're in hotels. One of you guys, I don't know, Randy or Dave, lay out, you know, I want to talk about security related to what I should be thinking about when I'm not in my office, particularly on a landline.
Well, you know, Dave's probably going to be the more literate, but I'll jump in first and frame it. You know, our basic position as a K2 teaching team is we try not to use any public wireless. Because of that, all of us have cellular connects. We will set up our own private networks. So even when it's really attractive, we try to avoid the public networks for a lot of different reasons. Now, that said, there are some things that you can do to use the public ones a little more safe, but our fundamental rule of thumb is most end users of public or client internet access are putting themselves at risk. So, Dave, do you want to frame it maybe a little better than that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why it is. I always end up being the bad guy. But here's the simple rule about security when you're out of the office. Don't do it. The simplest thing is, if it seems like a really bad idea, don't do it. I love to sit on airplanes and just look around at the number of laptops sitting open, or sitting open when someone goes down to use the restroom in the back of the plane. And stamped all over the document is confidential, eyes only, serious legal briefs and technology stuff. And I'm just cruising through everybody else's laptops because it's fun and interesting. So you know, you don't want to open sensitive documents when you're surrounded by people. You don't want to use a public network of any kind because they're simply not safe. And I think we've actually, Darren, we've beaten that subject almost to death on here, but it's still very true. Here's what I recommend, strongly recommend. When you travel, if you travel extensively, pick up an air card, a cellular card. That way you don't have to use public networks and you're using access to the Internet that may not be as fast as it should be. That changed next year when 4G starts to get deployed. But in the meantime, you've got a secure connection and you've got the ability to use a VPN tunnel back to your home office computer and a VPN, again, fairly uncrackable, fairly easy to implement under Vista or Windows 7. So the three biggest things are, for me, use an air card, stay off public networks, and stay out of the public arena. Don't sit at the bar at the airport with your laptop sitting open. And finally, I think maybe the most important thing of all is to simply be aware that it's a bad world out there and stop using your work computer to play. I don't know how many times we've gone into offices that are just laden with viruses, and everybody swears up and down that they're only using their computers for work, and you go in and you pop up, and what's sitting on their screen? Facebook. And Facebook, you know, in spite of their best efforts, is laden with viruses. So I just keep your computers separate, keep off public networks and out of public places, and use an air card. Those are my top three biggies.
So let me ask you guys from a novice's vantage point on all this security stuff, things I think our listeners might be interested in. First of all, so let's say I'm only going to use an air card. Do I need to put a password on that air card so other people can't see it, or is it by nature not shared?
Well, it's by nature not shared. It's one air card, one machine. It's not a broadcast radio device like Wi-Fi. And that makes it a little more secure. I would strongly recommend that you password protect your computer because computer theft is rampant in this country. You can send it through the airport scanners, and when it comes out the other end, the laptop's missing. And if it's not password protected, all of that data is now compromised.
Okay. So your rule number one is we use an air card, and we password protect our computers, and we don't hop on public domains. So I just want to make sure our audience understands what you mean by public domain. I mean, it seems fairly straightforward, but an example, go-go on an airplane, you know, the wireless airplane access, public domain?
Yeah, it's public domain, and honestly, if you're going to do that, again, it goes back to the first half hour. Get yourself an iPad to play with on the airplane.
Second, okay, so I'm at home, Randy, and, you know, I have a wireless network in my house, and I hop on that. Got to make sure I put a password key to get into my wireless network. Is that the best strategy?
Yeah, and some would even go so far as to say wireless anywhere is too risky. But for that home wireless access point, my rules of thumb is I actually like to set them up so that they are Mac secured, that there is a password on top of that. And I actually like to establish the, you know, VPN tunnels back for authentication if I can. There's some risk with VPN, so that's not a good general recommendation. But and then I also hide the wireless broadcast name. So, you know, a casual drive-by might not see it. However, all of those cautions taken, there are still hacking tools out there that are pretty aggressive with the wireless, and they are more of a risk. However, doing those things helps.
You know, so most of our listeners, I'm going to guess, you know, go to Best Buy and pick up a wireless router, and they plug it in or they put their airport router in, and they just hop on, they're good to go. You know, completely exposed, right?
That's almost exactly what they always do, and that is also happening in the office. We call those renegade access points where people will bring an airport in or bring a D-Link in or whatever they've got and throw it on the corporate network for convenience of having wireless access. both really bad choices. It's worse because, you know, our listeners may well pay for a technician to install the access point, and the technician may not be literate enough to get the security right. I can't tell you, not unlike Dave's experience on the use of computers and Facebook, as he cited earlier in our conversation, but on access points as well, where they're just flat set up wrong, and we wind up with infestations and security breaches through that hole.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that Randy said is very important there. There are ways, if you know what you're doing in setting up the access point, or if you are willing to slog through the manual just a little bit, you can set it up so that it doesn't broadcast its identifier to the whole world. That is, if you don't know it's there, you don't see it. Secondarily, you can set it up so that it will recognize only specific machines and the MAC addresses of those machines, so that a casual person coming by who tries to connect to your network or connect into you isn't able to get on your network because the MAC address of that machine is wrong. So those things together with encryption are going to give you at least a little bit of protection at home, but the truth is most people aren't going to do that because it's such a pain entering the password, and Wi-Fi has not been implemented very well by all companies, so it could be there are massive problems connecting when you implement all this security stuff. So all of a sudden, half the time, you can't get onto your own network. So people generally, in frustration, strip off all the safeguards they put in.
So, you know, it's going to sound a little odd, and I know she wouldn't mind me saying this, but I was working with my 87-year-old mother over the weekend on Sunday, and in her home, she has a SonicWall TZ-150W, a slightly older model, but a very strong security-based firewall. And, you know, I was trying to hook up with my laptop from the front room while we were talking about some international travel, and I couldn't get connected. It's like, well, what's wrong here? Well, I had not added my MAC address to the SonicWall, so I had to go do the administrative work before I could continue our work together. And so in her case, where she's the only user and there's really no homes within significant driving distance around her home and so forth, chances of somebody hacking into her network are pretty darn slim. As it turns out, it took me a minute to say, why can't I get on this network? And the firewall showed like it was connected because I knew the access point ID, but it didn't finish the connect because I didn't have the MAC address authentication correct.
So, Randy, I got to ask, is this where you get all your skills? Was it from your mom? Did she set up
the
Sonic?
I was just about to say the same thing. Now we know how he became a geek.
as it turns out, she's the one that probably taught my work ethic and respect for people.
Yeah, there you go. last question I have for you guys. You know, most our listeners probably have kids or have had kids, and kids have a tendency to like to download from LimeWire. As hard as I try to keep that out of our house, you know, kids put LimeWire on their machines. How dangerous?
Oh. Immensely dangerous. You've got all kinds of things going on in the peer-to-peer communities right now. You have increasing amounts of illegal content, and I'm not just talking about music files, but you're also talking about a lot of malicious viruses that are being thrown out there simply to take over your machine, to turn them into bots. And if all of that wasn't enough, there's a really good chance that you're going to have an investigator from law enforcement or for one of the copyright enforcement outfits peering over your shoulder watching what you're doing. At this point, I'll tell you what, if you want the music, pay 89 cents a file. Go download it from Walmart.com. Much easier, much cleaner, no viruses, no law enforcement problems.
Yeah.
And something that we consider a little on the odd side here, and most of our listeners probably aren't set up this way, but for all of the home networks in my family, I've actually gone to the effort of segmenting what I would call a public side and a business side. So I actually have work-at-home office where I've structured the business side to be isolated from the rest of the home network. Now, again, technicians can set up firewalls and access points and all that stuff that way, but it's a pretty rare day that that's done. But on my home network, my children's computers or our guests' computers don't actually touch my business computers.
Randy, do you know of any good resources for our listeners to sort of get their hands around, you know, how to set up your home network in that respect?
You know, I wish there was. It's almost like our last three conversations together, Darren. I think I need to write a little bit of a cookbook on this area because it's so broadly needed, and that'll be a good thing to do over the next 90, 120 days. I wish there was a resource. I can't name one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not aware of one either that lays it out succinctly and easily. I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't had time to go look for them, and I haven't had time to write it.
Well, you know, in wrapping up, I just want to kind of summarize, and I think that's, Dave, what you just said is probably how most of our listeners are. We kind of don't have time to really go do all the research and figure all this stuff out, so we kind of expose ourselves by, you know, not putting passwords on our home systems or our wireless access points. We hop on access points when we can. So we're pretty exposed, which was the point I wanted to get out today. And the advice I heard from you guys was, get a cellular card, which, you know, I can't express how happy I am with my cellular card. Randy, I know you use a device similar to a MiFi, but along that route, which is, again, a cellular sort of card. And make sure we're not hopping on public domains. Is that the anything else we should take away from that?
There's probably one more that I'd like to have thrown in because I'm still an encryption fan, so I actually today am still promoting the logic and thinking of using PGP encryption for your hard drive in addition to the simple passwords that have been named. And I'm getting a little more tolerant of recommending Microsoft BitLocker under Windows 7. But I think encryption is wise from a security breach law perspective, particularly on the portables, but we think it's needed on desktops because of cleaning personnel or possible theft.
Sure.
And I want to jump in just, Darren, real quickly because we probably need to come back and discuss this again. No, MiFi is not the same as a cellular card. It receives itself, its internet from cellular, but then turns into a Wi-Fi router and broadcasts it publicly. So you have to treat a MiFi card exactly the same as you would any public access Wi-Fi, unless you've locked it down.
So that's why the MiFis are not one I'm carrying yet, Darren, because I don't know how to lock them down. But the CradlePoint router that I am carrying is a lockable device.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Good. Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, I was trying to say a few things and didn't seem to get through it, and I switched on my phone. So the MiFi, just so readers know, it comes with, it requires a password.
The MiFi does require that you have a password to hop on?
But does your MiFi allow, you know, some of the other security configurations, Renee? I know you've carried the MiFi for quite a number of months.
I think Renee might have just got dropped.
I think we
off.
Lost Renee again. I'll jump in and say, because I've carried the MiFi now for several months as well. And, you can lock it down. You can lock it down like any other Wi-Fi router. It has the same capabilities.
Yeah, the question is when a buyer buys one, they got to make sure they have those capabilities or they find somebody that does. Otherwise, like you said, Dave, it's wide open, right?
Yes, exactly right.
Well, guys, I think some good advice for all of our listeners today as we talked is I think the iPad's worth taking a look at, and I think we need to start becoming more and more conscious of the security around us. Randy and I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago to listen to a guy I thought was really strong in the security area when we were in Oklahoma together. And a guy did a demonstration for us, right, Randy, on how easy it is to really defraud about anybody you want to defraud.
It was a frighteningly good demonstration.
Yeah. So we'll probably talk more about that in the future. Yeah, Renee, you back on?
I'm back, yeah. So that's the beauty of cell phone technology. So my first point was that MiFis do have passwords. But then the second point, and I don't know, I agree with all the security issues that we're talking about, but our listeners are going to want to still do email when they're traveling. And I don't know what you guys think about this, but what I tend to do is if I have to use a public network email, I log in for the 30 seconds or 60 seconds, that network that it takes to download the email, and then I get off. So that's one way that I think our listeners can kind of, you know, mitigate some of these concerns. And then the other security concern is I think people underestimate the risk they have just in their own office leaving their machine unlocked. It's kind of the point that Dave made with people going back down to the bathroom on the airplane, leaving the computer wide open. So that's something else listeners should be thinking about, is always locking their monitor and their keyboard when they are away from their computer. So, and there is some interesting iPhone technology where if your iPhone is close to your computer, it keeps it, you know, open, but if it's away, it locks. So something to think about out there for people, because security is not just the people that are trying to hack, it's the people in your office.
Well, guys, thanks so much for your time today. Great discussion. I'm sure our listeners will get a lot out of that. These are always fun, and just a couple more months of winter, and we should be through it. Hang in out there, Dave.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Derek. Bye.
Thanks, Kenny.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.